When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
As of right now, we are at war.
How desperate you call on such lost creatures to defend you?
How desperate am I? You threaten my world with war. You steal a force you can't hope to control. You talk about peace and you kill because it's fun. You have made me very. You might not be glad that you did. There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people, see if they can become something more.
Welcome to Fury's Finest, a podcast about Marvel Crisis Protocol and the Marvel Universe. My name is Jesse Aiken, and I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Ruffett. How are we doing today, Chris?
Well, Jesse, I'm still riding high from Adepticon. Still feeling great. Loving MCP right now, trying to figure out what my next team for the next tournament is going to be exactly. I'm leaning a few different ways, but I'll really dial it in here soon.
I feel that. Yeah, I'm thinking of, now that a new season has begun for us locally and just in Marvel Crisis Protocol competitively, I'm definitely in a season of exploring and trying new things, returning to affiliations I haven't played in a while, or maybe some breaching some new affiliations, you know? So
careful.
I'm looking forward to that for sure. And I think we've listed in great detail the affiliations that I want to explore this year and the ones you want to explore this year. And
yeah, but I'll probably change.
Mine are definitely going to be on that list for sure. And, you know, I think the irony is like the reveals just confirmed that for me because,
oh, yeah.
Two of my big ones this year, which were completely new forays for me, are going to be Midnight Suns and Asgard, right? And we've talked about it this year. I mean,
I know.
Surely, and I don't even know if Dracula is going to follow the Midnight Suns and stuff, right? That's going to be my own project, just the Dracula project.
Yeah.
But,
well, we got to see, man. He might be unhinged.
But I love Lady Sif.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping she might be the piece that Asgard needs to be viable. They are in a tough spot right now in the game. I think you could easily say they're in one of the toughest spots, especially after some other teams got lifted massively up and that are now at the top or at the bottom. Looking at you, Defenders and X-Force. And so now Asgard's really trying to find its place. And I think that'll happen for them. I really hope it does this year. And Midnight Suns are still great. And they're just going to get better with more releases.
Absolutely. And they're going to have some really killer ones. I think Elsa and...
Give me Elsa, yeah.
And Man-Thing. I'm just so excited. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Other than the Dracula box, I think the Elsa Man-Thing is the one that I'm looking forward to the most just because I'm so curious the routes they're going to go on that box.
Oh, I know. In particular.
In the way of sculpts, in the way of superpowers, in the way of second Midnight Suns leadership, potentially. All these type of things. And I just cannot wait. I frankly can't wait. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to wait because that's not till the new year next year, at least Elsa and Man-Thing. But yeah, we got a lot of fun stuff to explore today, this year before then. And Chris, I will say I'm still riding on that high of Adepticon. And it seems like, maybe I'm testing the waters here in the wrong way, but it seems like you and I were some of the most excited people out there for all these panel reveals.
Oh, I know.
I guess some of them weren't tailored for other people like they were for us, but I cannot tell you. I think this year's just going to knock things out of the park. Some other people, it felt a little lukewarm, apparently. So
I've been chuckling to myself at the differences in opinions between us and other content creators.
Night and day.
Nothing wrong with being underwhelmed by these guys. It's totally fine. But speaking for Jesse and I,
yeah,
we are big hyped.
I mean, yeah, we're getting the Spider-Man universe this year, we're getting the mutant universe, and then we're getting Marvel monsters. So to me, it's just like, I'm very happy. And obviously things spread in between, like Asgard getting fleshed out. But yeah, apparently that's not what everybody wants. And that's perfectly fine because I'm sure they'll have releases very soon for them.
I sure hope so. I just don't think anybody really knows what they want anyway. So why worry about it?
Yeah, summary of the internet for sure. But today we are going to talk about something that I think we all want, at least in the scheme of Marvel Crisis Protocol these days, and maybe even a lore sense as well. Cable, he's been taking the game by storm. It's kind of ironic that Chris and I had him on our schedule at this point because we've had a plan of attack for Cable for a long time. We had no idea the errata was coming for him. And so this is going to be a very evergreen episode.
It's pretty great. I've played a lot of Cable. I've played a lot of Cable pre and post errata. So I'm excited to talk about that. But what I'm not excited about is this insanely convoluted and weird history in the 90s. It's absolutely impossible to keep up with at points. And if you really like take the logic out on some of this time travel stuff, it starts feeling like Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yes.
In the bad way. I love TNG, but
in the bad way.
You know what I mean when I say the bad way there. But first, Jesse, we have some things we got to get taken care of.
Furious Vine is supported by Mr. Laser. Go to mr-laser.square.site for all of your Marvel Crisis Protocol, Shatterpoint, and other miniature gaming needs. You can use the code FURY5 to get 5% off your entire order of his already discounted rate. I will mention now too, another good thing to know about Mr. Laser, he always has the latest AMG, Star Wars Shatterpoint, and MCP pre-orders up, typically when they are revealed by AMG. So get your pre-orders in with him now. And he does carry card sleeves for your character cards, your tactics cards, things like that. So might as well throw those in your order as well and use our code FURY5. Let him know we sent you.
And here at Fury's Finest, we use only the finest pre-marked mats, and we get those from iWarGame. iWarGame makes the best marked mats for MCP. We use nothing else. Please, while you're there, buy one of the new beautiful, gorgeous, perfect maps. Please use the discount code FFPODCAST.
Absolutely. Get 10% off your order and support us in the process by letting them know we sent you. And of course, we cannot do this show without our patrons. Our patrons support Fury's Finest, patreon.com/Fury's Finest. If you enjoy the show, you'd like to get access to our private Discord community, like to join our private leagues, painting gallery with no name behind the scenes, and much more, check out the Patreon tiers. We take this time to thank all of our patrons for their support. And Chris, we actually have two new patrons to thank this week, Frank S. and Matt A.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you guys so much. We've always tried to make this segment like the patron of the week, but some of you guys are backlogged a little bit, and I want to get to all of you. And so you might start hearing more than one name a week. Uh-oh. Get through this backlog and make sure everyone gets their name heard correctly. And yeah, just to be up to date with you guys too, which is very fun. And of course, Chris, we cannot do the show without our Avenger producer, Sean.
Thank you so much, Sean.
Thank you for keeping the lights on, Sean. It means a lot to us. And speaking of the Discord and our Patreon, the Fury Secret War League just ended. It was casted by Lucas and Patrick, which is very amazing. The final game of the league. You can see that on Lucas's channel. And we have a new league starting up soon. So this is the moment where you jump in if you want to get prepped for that and start reading the rules and sign up and do all that stuff. Now be a good time to jump on the Patreon and do that.
It's going to be a fun league. I'm going to bring the heat this time.
Whew, I like it. I'm going to be trying new stuff. So yeah, I'm just very excited about it in general. But that's enough for that. And let's get right into Cable lore today.
Oh my goodness. Well, Jesse, we got to start this thing off like we always do. Let's just talk a little about who Cable is. Nathan Christopher Summers. He is the militaristic leader for the X-Men. He was conceived as such, brought in as such, and then the rest was kind of figured out as they went, and it got weird. But the important things to know immediately are he is a very pragmatic, militaristic, you know, discipline type guy. His teams operate as strike teams. He is an extremely powerful mutant with just telepathic and telekinetic abilities. Of course, most of these abilities are used to hold back the techno-organic virus. That is why he has a metal arm and a glowing eye. He was infected with the techno-organic virus as a baby by Apocalypse himself, whom was infected with the techno-organic virus by adult Cable. Yes, that's what we're jumping into today, guys. I'm going to very, very, very much simplify some things, leave out some retcons, just so you, for those of you that are unaware of who Cable is, other than maybe seeing him in a movie, on a couple cartoons, you know, who he really boils down to. Oh, and did I mention that he's the son of a clone?
No, not at all. Huh.
Yeah, the Goblin Queen. You know that. Come on.
Absolutely.
It's a clone of Jean Grey. And he's fathered by Cyclops, and it was all engineered to take place by Mr. Sinister. Of course, you all knew this.
Of course, very important.
Extremely important. As I said, Cable is born an extremely powerful mutant. He is the son of Cyclops and essentially Jean Grey. He's raised by Jean in a way.
Yeah.
Not really, but kind of. I don't know. Depends on who you talk to and how much disbelief you want to suspend. But as I said, he's extremely powerful. He's probably an Omega level mutant.
Yeah, he's Omega level.
Nate Grey is an alternate version of him, and who enters the 616 for a while, and who is automatically an Omega level mutant. But of course, Cable is not just an Omega level mutant with a sizable chunk of his powers being used to hold a life-threatening virus at bay, but he also grew up in a really, really bad future. So he is a militaristic genius, a tactical genius, and really just a genius all the way around.
Yeah, for sure. And that bad future, that's very interesting part of his history.
Oh, is it?
Well, and I think it just forms who he is too. And, you know, it really does. T2 Judgment Day stuff here. It's very Terminator-esque.
Yeah, let's just jump into it. You know, let's just go. So as I said, he is the product of a post-apocalyptic future where he and all his friends are fighting against Apocalypse. So naturally, Cable is really good at making things go away, using big rifles, big explosions, pulling things out of his many pockets. He's got a low level of superhuman strength as well. And on top of that, he's just a huge dude. Like, guy looks like a space marine, man.
Very fit.
And huge. He looks like he's 7'5", with the shoulders of Goliath, an arm the size of my head.
For sure.
He really looks like a space, like maybe a foot shorter than what space marines actually are, but he looks like a space marine because space marines are real. Cable has a ship, the Gray Malkin. This ship is piloted and operated by an AI. That AI, known as Professor, is a kind of a descendant of an AI that operates in the 616 in the early 90s, used by mutants, which is kind of cool. The techno-organic virus gives him, you know, more powers, some strength, definitely some advantages when it comes to using his giant metal arm as a shield. I mean, it is actual living metal. And as represented in MCP in a great way, and something I've touched on, but he is a pretty effective telekinetic user. I mean, he can throw buildings on top of you. He is an extremely powerful mutant.
Yep.
Some would say OP.
Well, Jean's son, right?
I'm not mad about it. I love Cable.
Yeah, Jean's OP as well. So,
okay, so as I touched on at the beginning here, Cable was really came about as a directive of Marvel editorial. They'd had the Professor as a leader for so long. Cyclops is kind of a field leader in some ways. Editorial wanted to shake it up and bring a little more edge going into the late 80s, early 90s, as comics are kind of changing. So they introduce Cable. He's designed by Rob Liefeld and to a lesser degree, Louise Simonson. But of course, he has a first appearance in a different book. Adult Cable is not the first appearance of Nathan Summers. The first appearance is going to be in Uncanny X-Men number 202. The creative team on that one is Chris Claremont and Rick Leonardi. So they're going to get the credit for Baby Cable. But of course, Baby Cable is introduced and he's infected with the techno-organic virus that he himself infected Apocalypse with. And his sister Hope is going to kind of Deus Ex Machina out of a portal and say, this child has to go to the future. In the future, we can combat the techno-organic virus. Of course, she introduces herself as Ascani's son here. So this is going to tie into Cable as well. Cable will go to the future and eventually resurface as adult Cable in The New Mutants number 87, March of 1990. As mentioned before, it'd be Rob Liefeld and Luis Simonson, the creative team on that one. So let's just keep going with this story. In this future, this terrible, terrible future, Cable will be cloned and Apocalypse will decide that he's going to use Cable, child Nathan Summers, as the body he's going to reincarnate in. As we've mentioned before, Cable is Omega level. He's very, very powerful. So Apocalypse wants to take that and use that as his own. But unbeknownst to Apocalypse, he is cloned. Mr. Sinister's involved. It gets wild, but long story short, Cable is going to lead this Ascani-san in a war against Apocalypse, an event that he will follow Apocalypse through time, back in time, forward in time, all kinds of stuff. But eventually he will follow Apocalypse back to the 616 in the 90s, and he will make his first appearance. So when he reaches the 616, he puts together a team known as Six Pack. Six Pack is a mercenary outfit. And once he has an opportunity to join with the X-Men, lead the New Mutants, he immediately just leaves Six Pack to their fate. And Marvel hopes we never really remember them again. But eventually he will take over the New Mutants and be their militaristic leader, turning the New Mutants into a strike force, his own personal strike force, to do a lot of combating of the Mutant Liberation Front, whom was led by Strife, whom is a clone of Cable, cloned by Mr. Sinister, stolen by Mr. Sinister, and becomes an Omega level bad guy. So during this time, you're going to see Cable and what will eventually become X-Force. New Mutants issue number 100 will be the last issue of New Mutants for that time, volume one. And the next month, it starts over as X-Force number one. Eventually, you know, we'll get some more additions to the team. Domino's going to be a major player, whom we will talk about in a future episode. And coolly enough, Warlock and Sunspot were just announced, like we said. So Cable, they might have some X-Force affiliations with them. Just throwing that out there.
Oh, yeah.
Cable is going to be hugely popular in the 90s and late 90s. Fabian DeSeza and John Romita Jr. are going to tell a lot of his stories once Rob Liefeld leaves to found Image Comics. And these stories are going to pretty much run through X-Force and also concurrently his solo series, Cable. I mean, these books were moving. He was, I'm not exaggerating in the least, Cable was a huge deal in the late 90s, early 2000s. And he's going to be everywhere fighting lots of bad guys. But everything for him is going to always return to Mr. Sinister, Strife, and sometimes Apocalypse. He's going to have to go back to the future sometimes, all these things, but all these wacky Marvel time shenanigan things that are just too much sometimes. But eventually, by the mid-90s, his star is going to start fading. And so Marvel did the exact same thing they did with two of our favorites, Luke Cage and Iron Fist. In the 70s, when those two heroes were dipping in popularity, couldn't really hold their own book, they team them up and we get the Heroes for Hire. This is exactly what happens with Cable and Deadpool. Cable and Deadpool get thrown together as, you know, the trope of the misfit duo, the odd couple trope, and we're back to the races. It's an absolute joy of a book. It's got a couple of volumes, and it really reinvigorates Cable and Deadpool, as we talked a little bit in the Deadpool episode. And this is the era I really want to focus in on here, Jesse, and I want to bring you in a little bit, because during this time, Cable will be hopping through time. And, you know, of course, I think you and I both love the Messiah Complex when Cable is hopping through time with baby Hope Summers, protecting her from any and all comers. He's being hotly pursued by Bishop, another time traveler from a different really bad timeline. And this book is just, I mean, it's Lone Wolf and Cub in an X-Men setting, and it is just absolutely fantastic. And I think during this book, we get a lot of modern Cable. We get that paternal instinct more so than in the 90s. And I have to stress this, one of the reasons I really like Cable is there has been a lot of character progression since his introduction in the 90s. In the 90s, he is a drill sergeant. He is hardened, emotionless. You know, it really takes some time and Fabian Nicieza to start opening him up and changing him and getting him to be a teacher and role model to his students, to his strike team. I mean, they're one and the same. They're students and a strike team. That's a complicated thing when you really stop and think about it outside of just LOL comic books. And eventually he will morph them into, you know, X-Force, and a lot of the New Mutants will go off on their own. But X-Force, hugely popular, will remain. And for a lot of it, Cable is there. Not all of it, but a lot of it. And what X-Force will become is that wet works team, that dirty work team, the team that can't be official X-Men.
Yep. Always incognito behind the scenes.
100%.
Yeah.
Getting their hands dirty, sometimes taking lives. And I think this era, for me, this is Cable. Messiah Complex and onwards.
Sure.
You know, he is militaristic. He is huge. He's got a ton of pockets. He's still a kind of edgy. But like I mentioned, that lone wolf and cub paternal instinct and his just grim determination to do the right thing is something I've always just loved about Cable.
No, absolutely. He's a great dad because of that, right? And that's kind of what that whole story is explored. And he's a literal dad and a figurative dad in a lot of these storylines, right? For his group, whoever's with him at the time, whether it be Hope all the way to some of the misfits in some of these stories, these wet work stories.
Well, there's plenty of them, and goodness. Seriously, he gets introduced in the 90s and he's just everywhere for so long. So we're going to touch on some high points really, really quick. And one more thing I forgot to mention. Let's start at the beginning. Cable, as a child in his terrible future, is raised by a very charming couple, Slim and Red Dayspring. This couple is actually the mental, I don't know, is it mental projections? Is it?
Yeah.
Is it minds placed into made bodies for them in the future? Anyway, it's Cyclops and it's Jean Grey being projected into the future and somehow having bodies. I don't really get it. I never have. It makes my head hurt. But yeah, he's raised by Jean and Psyche. So it's he considers them his parents. I mean, Cyclops is, but Jean not so much. So during the 90s, he's going to fight a lot with Strife back and forth. They're going to annihilate each other over and over again. At one point, Strife will exert his evil influence over Cable, and that will force Cable into growing a goatee. You heard it right. The evil goatee.
Gotta get that evil goatee.
This is 100% real.
Mirror universe Spock.
That's what it feels like a lot. So we're kind of touching on his childhood a little bit. And I want to stress to you guys, it took Marvel like 10 years to figure this stuff out. This stuff is all revealed over years by various writers in one-shots and weird flashbacks. And we didn't even touch a lot of the Ascani-San retcons and changes that have happened there. It gets incredibly complicated and convoluted. But this Cable history, his early childhood pre-comic history, it took forever for them to get there. And it's really not very compelling to me in any way, shape, or form. What is compelling to me is Cable always, always showing up and trying to help people that need his help, trying to use his powers to save mutants and to erase, you know, these organizations bent on hate and bigotry. And on top of that, let's be honest, Cable looks cool.
Of course.
So he's going to work a little bit with the Avengers. He's going to work a lot of it with X-Force through the years. He's going to wax and wane in popularity through the 2000s. So he will disappear for a while, a couple times, really. I'm happy to report that he sides with Captain America in Civil War.
Of course he does. Yeah.
Well, because he's a good guy. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think you're touching on a lot of like who Cable is, Chris, which is the most interesting thing. Other than that bit of, you know, he's always using his powers to keep the virus at bay. That part is just gets me every time. I think that's so incredible that he's exerting that level of power at all times to keep himself alive, right? Because it will kill him if he lets it take over.
And you know, he actually gets the techno-organic virus removed for a time in the comics. And of course, that is not the Cable we've all grown to think of in our mind's eye.
Right.
So naturally, comics being comics, it reverts. And when the whole, you know, when the universe is rebooted, he is back to having the techno-organic virus.
Yeah. It's kind of like Cat Beast, you know? You have it for a short period of time.
Yeah.
But then you got to revert back to Classic Beast because everybody knows what Classic Beast looks like. So I get that. I totally get that. But what really resonates with me, Chris, is just who Cable is. Like you said, I mean, what's interesting is he's got that gruff, hard exterior, that militaristic, that grit. But then below the surface, there's a heart there, you know? There's a lot of intention.
Right. He's not always funny or jovial or happy even, but he's always trying to do the right thing. And not just what he feels is the right thing. He has a very dialed in moral code, I would say. And I think that comes from him being raised by Cyclops and Jean in a fashion, you know, and they also train him with his powers, everything like that. It all kind of works in concert to make this supremely good, supremely serious and extreme mutant. And I think we're all better for it.
Well, absolutely. And what a mutant to live in the time that he lived in too, right?
Like, absolutely.
I think that person, all those personality traits coalesce to help him survive, right? But also to help him distinguish what's right and wrong in the world, that crazy world he lives in. And it's a fun juxtaposition to bring him back to normal times, I say in quotes, and then pair him with people like Deadpool or others who just are polar opposite him in a lot of ways.
That's true. And they did, you know, we're not going to touch on it here because I have a feeling we might get him as a character later. But in the modern era of X-Men comics, we do have a young version of Cable show up. And I'm sure many of you heard the hoopla about this because change makes all the nerd boys go re. We had this young Cable that really slotted in just as Cyclops' son, as Cyclops' late teenage son during right. The Krakoa era of the mutants. And it's really pretty fun. Honestly, I liked Kid Cable quite a bit, but he comes into town because he thought his older self had lost the plot. So he actually just killed the older version of himself and took the place of with the mutants. He lived on the moon in the Summers compound there as well and dated one of the Cuckoo Twins.
Yeah, just crazy, right? I mean,
pretty cool stuff. Had a cool sword.
It is a pretty cool story, and that is a different Cable, of course, than what we're talking about today, but it's like, it's the same Cable. He's just younger and in a different time stream of, you know, the canon being reset.
Yeah, and don't worry, it's Marvel. Old man Cable comes back. It's all good.
Oh, of course. And then, you know, Krakoa era, a lot of things are the same, and a lot of things are different, right? And
that's right.
Some of the things are the same and different. I mean, Cable's a good example of both, and then same with Professor X, right? Same and different in a lot of ways, that character and the route they go with that. So it's an exploration of artistic expression, that entire series for sure. But I think the Cable part, though, didn't work for some people. I mean, I agree. It works as well, though it's not the old Cable, which we're talking about today.
It's not the same, and it might not be as good as the old Cable, but nothing is forever, and comics always revert to the mean. So I try to just enjoy those little changes for what they are. And don't get me wrong, a lot of them do not resonate with me either. And I just, if it's not for me, it's not for me. I move on. But Jesse, we got to talk about Cable in the MCU. It's been a little while since we've been able to talk about characters in movies because we've been getting a lot of non-MCU characters.
But we got an MCU one today, technically MCU.
Technically, for sure.
Josh Brolin plays Cable in Deadpool 2. And of course, the Deadpool fourth wall comments are absolutely abound, referencing that he has played Thanos in the MCU as well. And is that okay, you know, for him to play both? Which is a great question. He absolutely crushed it as Thanos, by the way. I mean, one of the best characters in the entire MCU.
He's a pretty good actor.
He's a pretty good actor. Resaw Dune 2 again recently. Mm. You know, Granny Halleck, as Chris said recently.
Gurney Halleck forever.
Gurney Halleck forever. And that guy can act. And I think he's a great Cable, though it's a small part in the second Deadpool. Small part in, as in it's just one film. It's a major part of the movie. He crushes it. He looks the part. He acts the part. He's a great foil to Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool, right? I mean, that's absolutely the whole point of their pairing in the comics as well, which we expanded more on in our Deadpool episode. If you want more of that. And one more to say, that they nailed the look, and I think he's a great choice, and I'd love to see him return in the MCU proper.
Me too. We will know shortly. You know, Deadpool 3, not that far away.
No, and I think Cable and Domino are so well received in that series, in that film, that they could easily return in some other crossover film or MCU film.
I really hope they explore the wine mom component of Domino's character in the next movie. She's the X-Men wine mom. She's great. We'll get there.
I've not heard it put that way, but we'll get there. That's very good, Chris. Very good.
All right. So I'm going to close us out here, our lore section here, with some comic book recommendations.
Yeah. I think some discussion might come up around one of these, some natural great discussion.
Messiah Complex.
Yeah. That's the one.
Just read it.
Yeah. You guys know how we had this like ringing endorsement recently for Immortal Hulk. I personally would give the same glowing review of this arc of Cable, this whole like young Hope all the way to teenager Hope. It's that long of time.
This is the arc that changed my mind on Cable. I used to not like Cable.
That's right. Yeah, we talked about that on the show.
We did.
I was shocked on this very show, live on the air, when Chris was telling me he didn't like Cable, and the past especially. And
Messiah Complex changed my mind. I became a Cable fan after that and just devoured as much Cable content as I could.
Yeah, this series really spoke to me, and I reread it recently to prepare for this episode, and it is profoundly good. The art style is maybe not your cup of tea. It's not quite my cup of tea.
You just got to power through because it's worth.
But it works. The art style still works within itself.
It's not bad.
No, it's not bad. The way I describe it is I call it that hyper-realistic CG-looking art style is what I call it in comics. It's kind of this like everything's rounded off, right? And there's no line work.
Yep.
And my favorite part about art in comics is strong line work, you know, silhouettes and stuff. And you kind of lose that in this art style. Though I've read multiple comics in this art style that were worth reading and incredible, right? I mean,
I think Agent Venom leaned into a lot of this art style as well. And it was very, the Space Knight run.
And even some of the like modern, you know, modern. Oh,
you can find it all throughout. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, this is an art style that I think I've seen a lot around like kind of like modern literature masterpieces and classics. And then they transpose it to a graphic novel, you know? I mean, I've seen some of the Neil Gaiman like stuff, like American Gods and stuff, those type of things, like be put in this type of art style, which is fine. For Marvel, it's a little bit more jarring. And that part aside, the story, incredible. I think anyone would enjoy this story. As Chris said, the like Lone Wolf and Cub. I think Logan pulled from this story a lot. The script of Logan.
Yes, absolutely.
If you liked Logan, Logan is old man Logan in this comic book in script form. You know, what they liked from both of those things. Mm-hmm. And also like there's layers of like, you know, I mean, we see it in modern day, like pop culture, very successful, like stuff like The Mandalorian and stuff. This is all that same arc, that same style, but I love in this series, Chris, too, which I'm sure we're going to return to the series when we talk about Bishop. But I mean, Bishop in this series.
We're going to get to explore a lot of Bishop soon.
It's a big deal.
It is. And it's something I'm going to have to do more reading on, because Bishop's comic book history is a little bit of a blind spot for me somehow.
That's interesting. Yeah.
So I'll remedy that toot sweet.
Well, he's huge in this series. I mean, he's the main antagonist.
Well, of course, I've read him in plenty, but I mean, his actual origins and him by himself outside of the team environment, as well as I need to know a lot more about his particular timeline that he came from. Because I know it's an offshoot of Cable's timeline.
Yes, and they're perfectly intertwined in that way, right? Of course,
they are very intertwined characters, especially after Messiah Complex. And the whole run.
Yeah, of course, especially after. In the final bit, I'll say in the storyline, and you know, from my experiences, is like, if you're a parent, this is a very profound storyline too, because this is a very, just like the Logan movie, whether or not your child was from you, from your DNA, whatever, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? What matters is like showing up and being a parent, right? And this series absolutely shows that as well to me in like full force, even when early on when Cable's apprehensive, you know, which of course is the same thing that they did in the Logan thing. And then the powerful conclusions of both, right? To me, what it means to be a parent, right? And so this whole series, like, it just, if it doesn't sell you on Cable, I don't know what else will. It sold Chris.
Well, since you're going to be sold on Cable, just keep going. Read all of Cable Volume 2.
Okay.
This is going to run from 2008 to 2010, 25 issues. Then it will be renamed to Deadpool and Cable. Just keep reading. And I think from there, you're going to have a great understanding and love for Cable. I really do believe. And you can just read whatever now. After that.
Well said. Yeah. Because of course he's going to, if you're reading X-Men comics or you're reading Avengers comics and stuff, he's going to pop up. Right. So these are like these like devoted deep dive Cable stories, but he's all over the place with mutant stuff. Right. So if you're just reading mutant adjacent stuff,
if you can and enjoy 90s, you know, style comics,
for sure,
they're a tough read for me. But if you like that 90s era, X-Force and Cable are awesome. And some great art and cool covers too. You can even just flip through some of those online just to see some really, really cool images and art, and especially the covers I think are cool.
Well said. We'll definitely check these series out and get more Cable in your life. But let's talk about Cable and Marvel Crisis Protocol. His name is Cable. His alter ego is Nathan Summers. He is a 5-threat character. His defenses are 3 physical, 3 energy, 4 mystic. On his healthy side, he has a stamina of 7. On his injured side, he has a stamina of 7, giving him 14, and he is a size 2, medium base with a short move. Chris, we're back at 5 threats.
The defense line's a little low, so I figure there might be something up with that. Medium base, short move, that's a little tough, but there might be something with that too. So let's move into his card. We've got 2 attacks. The first is Plasma Rifle. It is an energy attack. Range 5, strength of 5, power cost of 0. After the attack is resolved, Cable gains power equal to the damage dealt. If the target character is within range 3 of Cable, Cable may reroll up to 2 dice in the attack roll. On a wild, you will trigger Incinerate. After the attack is resolved, the target character gains the Incinerate special condition, which will reduce the defense dice by 1 to a minimum of 1.
A lot of things. Notable shout out for Cable, which is kind of his thing in Marvel Crisis Protocol, and now especially that we're, you know, approaching the model mark that we are in the game with so many models, it's crazy that they've still abided by these rules where essentially like very few characters in the game have range 5 attacks, and almost no characters in the game have range 5 like builder attacks, right?
Right.
And, you know, Hawkeye is an exception to the rule because he's Hawkeye. Cable's an exception to the rule because he's Cable. Hawkeye can't really turn that power into anything. Cable can. So it's this unique space that Cable's always been in where they've had a hard time balancing him. And early on where they talked about the banning drop off because people, you know, in testing, people were dropping off Cable. He's getting an early shot into your deployment with range 5 and all this stuff. And I get it. I want to shout that out first because that's a big deal, like a range 5 builder attack. But really, with this new clause they added in recent time, you want to be in range 3.
You absolutely want to be in range 3. Those 2 rerolls are going to up the consistency of your power gain and your damage through in a big, big way.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, you can always reroll positive results just to look for wilds as well, right? I mean, it's one of those things. If you need to. So it's just one of those things where it's giving you options and it's just giving you kind of more raw dice, more than 5, right? Mathematically, it is. So 1 attack in range 3 and then giving Incinerate, of course, makes his second plasma rifle so much more versatile, but it also makes Cable the unit that we love that he is, where he's a guy that loves to go first for his team and set up everybody else.
It's nice to have a 5 threat that wants to go first, right?
Very nice. It's unusual in some cases, and you absolutely want to go first with Cable. He is he's the playmaker, right? He's the can opener, you know? He's getting everything going, and then everybody's diving in after that and really getting to like the true meat and like taking the kills out, you know.
He really does start the blender that is X-Force.
Oh yeah.
he is the on switch for all those claws, basically.
100%. And let's talk about his next attack and his final attack on this side. It's Mystic. It's called Akani-san. It's an A2, so an Area 2 attack, strength of 7, power cost of 5. For each attack that deals damage, after the attack is resolved, remove 1 damage from this character. You know, this has changed from the old Akani-san. This is so much cleaner. It just is what it is now, and it stays the same on the back, on the injured side, I will say. So it was different on his old card, but now this is what it is. And, you know, this is just a cool way to be like, well, how many targets do I have in range? That's how many times I'm going to heal. That's a good way to look at it, you know? Now, of course, you have to deal damage to heal, but if you got 3 targets in your A2, hopefully there's a good chance you're going to get 3 heals off.
It might only be for 3 damage, but it'll be...
It's 3 heals.
It's still 3 heals.
Yeah, so I like it. It's one of those things where if he's topped off, he's just going to spend the power to do it. And A2s are one of those things in Marvel Crisis Protocol that we see them less, the area attacks in general, but when they work, you know what I mean?
I love using Daredevil's A2 attack as much as I can. So Akani-san, not quite as good, but it is a really good option, especially on those tight maps. If your opponent presents a situation where you're going to get 3 or 4 of these things off, you just have to body slide in and do it. Of course, that's a lot of power. And that brings me to his next superpower. It is an active superpower. It is called Body Slide by 1. This is a thing he does a lot. He's got his little wristband, you know, part of his techno-organic virus and futuristic gadgets and whatnots and Batman pouches. So he's going to call out Body Slide by 1. That's going to transport him. If he calls out by 2, that's going to transport him and one other person. Usually, this is accomplished by Gray Malkin, as we talked about earlier. But in Marvel Crisis Protocol, Body Slide by 1 is going to cost you 2 power, and you're going to place Cable within range 2 of his current position. He can only do this once a turn. It's Gamma Leap.
It's big. Yeah. It's big for a character with a range 5 attack as well, right? Because
it's going to enable double tapping and 2 attacks a turn.
Very possible. It also sets up Brown 1s really well.
That and the tactics card Cat and Mouse absolutely set him up to have crazy turn 1s. Yes.
He's a turn 1 threat, that's for sure. But keeping this theme going and talking about how he's a threat, he is an Omega level threat. Costs X power. It is active power. Cable may spend 1 to 4 power to use a superpower. Choose an interactive terrain feature within range 3 of Cable, equal to or less than the power you spent to use a superpower. Throw the chosen terrain feature medium. This can be used only once per turn. He's got Magneto's throw. He just can't do it multiple times.
It's an excellent throw.
Incredible.
I love using it.
You use it every turn. Spoiler alert.
Yes. If you can throw something with him, you throw. That is priority 1 on your turn with Cable.
Almost size 1, size 2, whatever. Just throw it. So I love this. There's never a bad throw for Cable, right? Because he can just, his power economy is matching it. And that's unusual in the game. Everybody else is blocked behind it, but this is showing his powers, how powerful he really is, you know, the versatility of that.
The telekinesis really comes through in this version of Cable that AMG has given us. And to illustrate that more, we're going to move on to his reactive superpower, Telekinetic Shield. When this character or an allied character within range 3 of Cable is targeted by an attack, Cable may use this superpower. Add 2 dice to the target character's defense roll against this attack. So he's just giving out shields as much as you need to.
Another reason why he's a great top of round playmaker, right? Because
build power for shields.
Yeah, he's gone and he's going to give your allies shields and keep them alive so they can go and finish the kill that he started. 2 for 2. I mean, it's just one of those things. It's fine. MCP, defense dice are not the greatest thing in the world. We all know this, but you'll happily take it because it could just turn the tide sometimes, right? And this does stack with other defensive buffs or shields or rerolls. And so it's a force multiplier too. I mean,
it's really great on any character with and utilizing Martial Artist.
Oh gosh. Yeah, absolutely.
That's when it truly, truly shines. I love it.
I mean, even like Spidey Sense or Assassin Training or I Know Karate, right? Like you're just increasing the efficacy of those powers by maybe getting around some skulls because you may roll skulls in your natural roll, but you added 2 more defense dice or just things like that. So once again, every single thing on Cable's card, you want to spend power to do. It's all amazing.
Yes.
It's all good. Now, luckily, he does build more power in the power phase with his innate power, techno-organic virus suppression. During the power phase, Cable gains one additional power. And keeping that techno-virus theme going, he is immune to poison, because of course he is. All our cyborgs in the game are, or people that have something like this going right. on. This Cable's version of this going on. And he is Asgardian for all intents and purposes. He does get two power turns. So that does mean the shield and body slide by one are always online, which is great. Mm-hmm. Or even a size 2 throw.
It's going to be the body slide.
You need that body slide. Yeah.
Jesse, we did skip something here, and it's time to talk X-Force. So let's start by reading off this affiliation ability. Wetworks affiliation X-Force. Each allied character may reroll one die in their attack rolls once per turn. This includes skull results. If they do, and the enemy character is within range 3, the enemy character does not benefit from cover during the attack.
Yeah, super good. It's only one reroll per turn, so you can't do it on both your attacks, but you know what's going on before you do the roll, right? You know what the initial rolls look like and how you want to modify. And the skull part is great. Absolutely great. And then the cover is just icing on the cake, which, you know, cover is very important at range 3. It's going to matter then, right? It doesn't matter at range 2, so the cover part doesn't matter there necessarily, but just taking essentially one more defense dice result off, guaranteed, if you did the reroll. That's worth doing the reroll alone, right? Even if the reroll doesn't turn in something positive,
right?
You're just saying, well, I'm removing one of your defenses regardless.
Taking away cover from players that are good at cover and characters that gain cover easily, we're getting more of that with Nightcrawler in the game, and this is great against Rocket, right?
It's all good stuff for sure. I mean, it's one of those things where it could be the difference, right? That one more damage.
And it really works well with the whole affiliation. The whole affiliation is just a bunch of models that like to do damage. So giving all of these models, these Wolverines, these Laura Kinneys, these Bishops.
The Deadpool, the Bang, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, it's really, it can be very good.
Yeah, it can. And, you know, a lot of the spender attacks on this affiliation are range 3 as well, right? So there's a lot of layers to it that absolutely work. But yeah, that's Cable's card. Nothing changes on the backside anymore. I mean, he's exactly the same. He's a little beat up. He's still 7 stamina. But let's move on to some tactics cards real quick, Chris, because we are kind of in the season of X-Force and Weapon X now on the show. And let's just talk about an X-Force card that is just basically a Cable card, cat and mouse. Really good on Cable and Psylocke in particular, but it's almost the type of card that could say Cable on it, and it's that good with Cable. So X-Force reactive, after all characters have been deployed, an X-Force character may play this card. Cost nothing. Place the character that played this card within 2 of its current location. This character cannot make more than one move action during its next activation. Well, what do you know with Cable? You don't want to make more than one move activation anyways.
Correct.
So reason this is so important is it gets Cable's engine going round 1. When typically stuff doesn't happen round 1 in the game very much, especially for fighty teams. And what's cool about this, Cable can cat and mouse, he can body slide, he can even short move as well. Easily be shooting almost anyone on the map and just get things going right away, be on a midline, start scoring. There's a lot of things that work for him here, and this is his card in my mind, even though it works exceptionally well on Psylocke as well, because the same concepts for her can be applied that apply for him too.
Absolutely, and I'm excited to talk about that turn 1 play with Psylocke when we get to her episode.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about one more X-Force card that's not as exciting, but we'll have more exciting ones in the future. It's Dirty Work, X-Force, and active. An allied X-Force character may spend 3 power to play this card. Mark the enemy character with the highest threat value on the map with the target token. If the marked character is dazed or KO'd this round by an allied X-Force character, all X-Force characters gain 2 power. If there's a tie for the highest threat value, choose one of the tied characters. So basically, this is usurp the throne, except you don't get a VP. You just get all X-Force members get power. 2 power to be precise, which is great. But there's a lot of ifs, ands, or buts with this. And, you know, it's not bad card. It's just you've got so many other cards you're already dealing with this affiliation.
There's a lot of good cards with this affiliation. And we're going to talk about them, but not in this episode.
No, we're not. But we are going to talk about Cable and where does he fit in Marvel Crisis Protocol. He fits a lot of places, Chris, turns out.
I was going to say, I think he's having a really nice time right now because you can play him in a lot of different affiliations right now.
Yeah, but let's talk about the ones he's affiliated with first because he's good in all these. Avengers, Uncanny X-Men, and X-Force.
Absolutely.
So, weirdly, he's the worst in X-Men out of these. Avengers, he's pretty amazing under all the leaderships, especially Classic Steve, just because Cable's card, you want to do all of his powers that you can.
Yeah.
There's never going to be an opportunity to do that because just the way the game works out and the power economy of the game. So Steve just makes that happen. Also, he has a reactive superpower that happens during your opponent's turn, which is always one of the first things you're looking for with Steve with the telekinetic shield. So you're kind of metagaming the Steve leadership as well.
I think the same could be said of using that reactive superpower in the Professor X leadership. Professor X loves reactive superpowers, so he can pass power around during your opponent's turn. Think about that in a similar way there.
Yep. Professor X is now on the menu. That's a whole new thing. But yeah, I just think with that Avengers mindset, I mean, even with Wild Steve, there's a lot of synergy there with Cable just getting his attacks off more consistently. And then additionally, even with Sam, though Cable would be probably one of those situations where he's like your 10th model, he's not like a normal Sam plan. Yeah. But let's say the opponent puts Sam on a tight map and Sam's saying, okay, well, if we're going to fight on a tight map, I'm bringing Cable this time and have affiliate Avenger. And don't forget, Avengers Assemble is like amazing for Cable, right? Just like Cat and Mouse is, right? It's just
absolutely
one of those things. Yeah. So it's don't sleep on Cable and Avengers. Well, yeah, Chris mentioned Uncanny X-Men. Obviously, I think Professor X is the new hot place for Cable just because he has so many superpowers and
yeah,
you can just do stuff there. But also, you know, storm hopping him with Storm is still great. I mean, just getting him up the board, shooting a lot. Once again, on a tight map is the way to go. And he's great under Scott's leadership as well. That's actually where I've played him the most in regards to X-Men rosters because Scott and Nathan both can do damage from range. They can pass that power out to the team, start getting the other team's economy going. That's what you want in a Scott team. You kind of want a gun line situation going in. It works.
It absolutely does. Cable can reach out and touch folks.
Yeah.
But the great thing about him is he wants to be in that range three. He wants to be living in that kind of middle zone.
Yeah, he does.
And at any point, he can body slide up into the fight to get onto an objective or really bully somebody away. But you kind of want to keep him on that back point within three if possible. You know, maybe throw people back for him to just double tap him and then throw something at him. But he can get up in it. He's got 7 health on his front side. He can take some damage and really contest some of those aggressive points if need be.
Well said, Chris. And yeah, that all the concepts that Chris just mentioned there apply in X-Force, right? I mean, obviously you need him at the moment for X-Force. He is our one leader we have. But I love that he's leading the charge in that affiliation. He's taking all the focus on him. He's saying, attack me. Don't attack my 3 threats around me. Let them live, you know? And
yep,
he forces you to look at him when you should be looking at everyone equally, but it's hard to do because he's asking so many questions. He's quite literally like an aggressive warrior in that way. He's just like, he's taking your attention. And what can we say about X-Force? I mean, they are one of the premier attrition rosters in the game right now. I mean, and Cable is one of the reasons why. He just helps them get things going. He really works under his own leadership. And all these cards that just, frankly, are great cards on, you know, the X-Force cards all the way to exceptional healing. The roster just works.
The roster works. And like you said, Cable starts the blender. Deadpool usually finishes it.
Yeah, Deadpool, X-23. Now we have Bishop.
Wolverine, yeah. The new and improved Wolverine.
Yeah, they just come in and they take care of it, right? They just take care of it.
I mean, Domino even is ridiculous right now, too.
They're all good, aren't they? They're just all good. All the X-Force members.
You can play spread. You can play up Main Street. They can do whatever as long as the dice hit.
Yeah, it's super cool about X-Force is they love to play spread as well, right?
That's my favorite way to play them is spread maps and let each one of these individual characters really shine. You know, have Wolverine trying to solo a side point and then probably overwhelm the other side with numbers and then hope hope Wolverine survives. With exceptional, he should be able to, right?
Hopefully so. Yeah, absolutely. So highest ring endorsement to play Cable in X-Force, but of course so. He's the leader. So let's move on to some fun, splashable places for Cable. And this is going to be an easy one. Cable's kind of good everywhere, but let's talk about some fun places he could maybe pop up. A-Force, it's very similar to a lot of these concepts we've been talking about this whole time. He needs more power. He wants to spend more power. He weirdly has synergy with the whole A-Force. Like, you attack my people on my team. You attack my bodyguard people.
Yes.
We get more power. Cable gives them shields. They stay around. Now you're caught in the bodyguard loop with shields. You know, like, there's so many cool things happening there. And I think that's a huge spot for him to play.
Absolutely. The only problem there is he is a 5-threat character.
Yep.
And A-Force has a 6-threat leader. So it's got to be a higher point game, but I think it's a very, very good strategy, especially what you just give those bodyguard characters, those extra defense dice, keep Okoye on the board one round longer. That's crazy. Going to annoy your opponent so much.
That it will. It'll absolutely annoy your opponent. Now, I think some fun places you could play him. You could play him under Mystique Brotherhood, kind of fixing that problem we're talking about earlier, him being a 5, pairing him with a 3-threat leader, just to bring a utility piece in a team that's kind of more about objectives, which is very cool. If, like, you're forced to fight, but maybe you're not, you don't want to commit to Magneto, right? Like, Cable's a good spot there. Cable's also really good in all the Cabal teams because they all deal damage in some way. They all manifest power in certain ways. And what do you know? He kind of fits in that spot. Now, moving past that, it kind of gets a little bit more interesting. Where could you play him in other teams? Oh, yeah. You could just play him in Defenders. You could play him in Humans, right? Just a team that needs a backline guy that can be in the fray with the team. I don't think you can go wrong playing Cable anywhere. That's the crazy part. Now, he is now that type of 5-threat, right?
I think he is. He's probably not the most effective call in a lot of these places, but I think you can get away with him. And I think he brings something to the party that no one else does with these extra shields, with this ridiculous throw. You can just clear the board of terrain if you've got the power for it. Keep your opponent from using it at the very least. But there's a lot he brings. I like this idea of him using the spider foes.
Mm.
You know, reroll a defense dice.
Yeah.
Green Goblin leadership to really make sure he gets that damage in and just really dice people out. And, you know, they don't have many backliners. So it's just something I think he could do okay in. I don't know that, once again, probably sure. Not the best choice, but could be pretty fun.
Yeah, I mean, anywhere that gives him dice modification is going to be huge. I mean, Wakanda is a similar story.
Mm, yeah.
And, you know, he actually has some cool synergy with Wakanda because they also have Shuri next to him, giving him rerolls. Like, just making him work is a very scary thing because if he builds a lot of early game power quickly, he's going to be cooking all game, right? And that's what's crazy. Like, if he has some successful early turns where he builds power and deals damage, his engine is online, right? And that's a massive part of kind of how he works, right? He kind of lives or dies by his early dice in a lot of ways. So if you can fix those dice, pretty scary.
Absolutely it is.
So those are the main places I'm going to recommend today. I also think if you wanted to try him in a more defensive team, just kind of double down on the defenses but shoot from range, that's absolutely a route to go too. Like a more defensive X-Men with Scott's leadership, a winter guard, even like, it sounds wild, but I've seen it in person and I was blown away and impressed by it. Cable as a flex for Web Warriors when they get forced on fighting maps, right? And his shields are incredible in Web Warriors because, similar to that concept Chris was talking about earlier, models that have defensive dice buffs, rerolls, or modifications, he's giving them more dice, making that Spidey sense really work, right? Massive. Absolutely massive. Even giving like Black Cat more dice and now your opponent can't modify because it's Black Cat and things like that. So he's a great piece. And even the Web Warriors too, is like, he's not your plan, but when you get put off your plan, he's a great tool.
Absolutely. He can get a lot done on the board. Swiss Army knife of sorts. Can even heal himself if he needs to. I mean, he's hard to remove off the board unless you spike him. And with 7 health on both sides, with 7 health on both sides, that's a hard spike to get.
Absolutely. And don't forget, like on a team like Web Warriors, he's getting the reroll as well on defense, right?
He absolutely is. And he's going to be adding dice for himself as well. That is something. It doesn't have to be allies only. He can give himself that shield.
Yeah, it's weirdly synergistic too, because if he's passing out incinerates the opponent, and the Web Warrior's biggest issue is building power, but their enemies are now incinerated when they're kicking them with their lower dice pools, maybe they're building more power, right? I mean, there's a lot of ifs and or buts here, but I mean, it works. It totally does work. And don't sleep on Cable and these defensive teams. I mean, it's the same concepts are applied with Winter Guard as well, where it's like
just
giving him a little bit more defensive nature, putting him next to Crimson Dynamo. Do you really want to go into that bubble of just defense?
I've played against that bubble of defense.
It's rough.
And it was with Professor X's leadership. So it just kept feeding off itself. It was cool.
That's right. That was one of your recent games. That's so cool. So cool. So Cable, we love him. You can play him anywhere you want. And we didn't get to talk about it earlier, Chris, so I'm just throw the little bit now. Still one of the best sculpts in the game? I think so.
Oh, man. Excellent. Excellent war tattered cape.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
You know, it's got the energy effects for you to really flex your painting skills on. It's got the metallic, the organic technovirus for you to really go hard on that non-metal metallic if that's your jam.
He's got like
bust out those sweet turbo dorks, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. And he's got pouches galore. He's got the virus cure or whatever up on his upper arm. He's got the plasma rifle. It's so good. His eye popping out, you know. I mean, he's one of my favorite models I have, to be honest. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Added Hope's teddy bear to mine. You know, take that next level of dad Cable and just love it. I just love it. So it is, I still think, one of those models that kind of cemented MCP the game it was, right? It's like early on we got models like Green Goblin and Cable and stuff, and it's like they're being like, here we are, and we're going to try more things in the future, and AMG has absolutely done that. But the fact that models like Green Goblin and Cable are so old now in the scheme of how many models they've put out as a company, which is absolutely true, and they still hold up.
Yeah, they still both look good.
That's a good sign.
Absolutely.
They paved the way for a lot of models. So yeah, Cable. Have you played him? Have you not? You should be.
You should play Cable. Fury's Finest is supported by our wonderful patrons. You can become a Fury's Finest patron by going to patreon.com/Fury's Finest.
Find us everywhere online on different spaces. Find us on X at Fury's Finest Cast and Instagram, Facebook, and Twitch at Fury's Finest. You can email us at furiousfinest@gmail.com. And we would really appreciate you reaching out to those spaces if you would like to talk with us.
Thanks to Approaching Nirvana for the show's music. And please rate, review, subscribe. Every little bit helps. We are constantly blown away by your acts of generosity and just being open to the rate, review, subscribe and everything. But unfortunately, we have to continue to ask you guys to do it. That is how podcasting and our current streaming world work.
You can find me and Chris several spaces online. You can find me, Jesse, all at the same place, at Jesse Aiken. JESSEEAKIN. It's all those places. X, Instagram, Discord, Longshanks. And check out my Star Wars Shatterpoint show. Hello there, a Star Wars Shatterpoint podcast, everywhere podcasts can be found, where we are talking a lot of what Chris and I have been talking here, the craziness of Adepticon that AMG gave us.
It was quite an event.
Absolutely. Chris, where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Discord, Strong Style, Chris Finest, and all MCP related Discords. And you could check my NBA podcast out. Orange Futures should have a new episode up pretty soon.
Well, we hope you guys enjoyed this episode of diving into one of the important mutants. We're going to be covering a lot of important mutants coming up, but it was really important to us to get Cable out even before a lot of those, right? Kind of lay the groundwork.
It's going to be a fun year.
Absolutely. So until next time, thanks for listening, true believers.
Excelsior.
The world has gotten even stranger than you already know.
At this point, I doubt anything would surprise me.
Ken Buck says you're wrong.